Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Podcast of Honor here on PWPonderings.com, where we cover all the news and Ring of Honor and everything else going on in that crazy little world. Of course, I'm Chris GST. I am the WED admin. And this time around, I am only joined by Ari Berenstain. Ari, how are you doing, man?
Doing good, man. This is like our, we're doing a two-man honor trip here. We're without Chris McKeel today, but we're going to do it right.
We really are. I mean, it really is just because Mikio was so devastated by the news that is, I think, everyone's talking about right now. So why don't we just start with this? Reportedly, from Dave Meltzer, Jay and Mark Briscoe, they may re-sign with Ring of Honor after getting an offer from WWE, which was more akin to an NXT contract. And then I guess Ring of Honor offered them more money to sign up with them. And it seems now, and Ari, you actually listened to the podcast. I have yet to finish it because, as always, I am behind. But how did Meltzer word it? Because obviously with the, there's no other way to put it, the copy and paste sites out there, sometimes the way they word things are drastically different from how Meltzer reported it. So did he say that they are more inclined to be re-signing with Ring of Honor, or that this is just one of those standstills where WB is not going to up their offer, and so they're still in negotiations? There is a difference between those two.
He did not say that they were in still negotiations. What he did say that I recall was essentially that the Briscoes, were not necessarily we're not happy with the total money offer that their WWE was offering them through developmental. That they could make them make more money through their current offer with Ring of Honor, and they also with their chicken farming business. And I believe Meltzer's comment was that the WWE was a little bit mystified that somebody would be willing to, do a chicken farming business and make money off of that as opposed to signing with them. That's the basic gist of it. And I guess what we're hearing is that Jay and Mark are either have we're going to really stick around with Ring of Honor because they Ring of Honor counter offered and that offer was better than WWE's offer. It may not be a done deal yet, but it seems to be the direction and a very interesting turn of events here, because it definitely seemed like Jay and Mark were heading towards WWE and then NXT developmental.
There are a lot of ways to think about this, and the way that I presented it on the newscast, granted, this news had not broke yet. So, of course, on the newscast, Jerome and I just kind of speculated that we thought, maybe a slightly bad idea if they don't sign with WWE. And I did, of course, make the caveat that, well, if it's a significant drop from what they're making in Ring of Honor, then I can understand it. But the way that I've always understood WWE contracts to work is that you can have an NXT deal, say you're only making 30, 40, 50K there. And that's a downside guarantee. That's not the total of what you're making. Once you make it to the main roster, you get paid out of, whatever the rate is, how they have that when it comes to the house shows. And that formula is very different. You're going to make more. Obviously, it's not guaranteed, but it's still something. So I find this kind of weird that the Briscoes, unless it's extremely different, and I can't imagine that it is, but say, for example, they got an NXT deal only worth 50K, and then Ring of Honor countered with, we're going to pay you 200K to stay with us. And the Briscoes like, oh, that sounds better. Less dates on the road. We get to stay with our families. We can work on our family business. I can see that being more alluring to them on the surface, but when you think about it, there is still the potential to make more in the WWE on the road. Granted, do you really want that kind of a schedule? So I guess I'm kind of almost of two minds of this, right? And I'm assuming, Army, you're probably pretty similar, because I think we both know, being longtime Ring of Honor fans, that we know the Briscoes, family's important to them. But I do think that there's a part of them that obviously they wanted to go to WWE, correct? It's not like they were those guys that said, oh no, WWE's never even been on our,
Well, it seems like every year there's, this news bit about the Briscoes coming in or maybe leaving Ring of Honor to sign with WWE. And the thing is, they're very valuable to Ring of Honor and for Ring of Honor. They are certainly, and Jay especially, but when they were a tag team starting out on the Sinclair syndicated deals, they were some of the more focused acts that were featured. And Jay has certainly been featured as the champion over the last year or two. on two different occasions. And but even during that championship, you know, right at that first championship run, he left, and there were rumors swirling around that he was going to WWE. And so it sort of goes hand in hand, because the Briscoes are come to be known as a top tag talent for the independent scene, and that will always have some sort of, you know, attachment of rumors towards it. But I mean, money wise, it's not my business to presume about their business. But if, you know, the money offer Ring of Honor came back with was commensurate with the value they probably have for them, then, you know, there's certainly something to the fact of, you know, it's better business for right now. And it certainly, you know what, it speaks to an interesting thing that's going on, and that is, even with Samoa Joe possibly coming to NXT, given, you know, the fact that he's not taking indie bookings up to a certain point here, and they've been heavily hinting at it, but, like, aside from him, there's a certain generation of wrestlers that are sort of being left out of that mix that people you'd think would go into WWE. You know, the CM Punks and the Daniel Bryans and all that, they made it into WWE, but then there's guys like, you know, Joe almost didn't make it, and may not, maybe still. AJ Styles isn't there, you know, and the Briscoes, who are one of the best tag teams together, and certainly have their, you know, selling points individually. They seem to be continually, are we there? Are we not coming there? And so there's a whole generation of that. You know, we've got the previous generation that you thought would come in, and they're coming in or made it already in WWE. The Cesaros, the Tyler Blacks, that sort of stuff. And then there's the generation afterwards, like with UHA Nation and your Casey Cassidy's and Jesse McKay's, or McKay, I forget how you pronounce that. But like, that's the next generation that's now being brought in to the developmental league. And the Briscoe are not part of that. And the guys in the middle of that generational gap that are not a part of that. It's very interesting.
Right, you know, because you have the generation that has, you know, kind of brought a lot of us up in terms of our indie wrestling fandom. And I think that's why people got excited, you know, like when Punk got signed. And we're kind of wondering, well, how come AJ isn't there? How come Christopher Daniels isn't there? I mean, we all kind of knew, you know, there's a size issue, stuff like that. Lots of politics that goes into it. But you're right, the Briscoes, I wouldn't say they're the holdouts. I just think that they are so valuable, like you said, to the Ring of Honor brand. But I also kind of wonder, how much money could they have really been offered? Because you look at the kind of history of how much Sinclair is spending or not spending on Ring of Honor, and with Sinclair possibly countering a WWE offer, it kind of makes you wonder, one, either how low is an NXT deal, which, you know, we've all heard rumblings about a certain amount, but at the same time, is it so much more for Ring of Honor and possibly working those, you know, how many more dates there are for WWE than as opposed to a WWE schedule or a Ring of Honor schedule?
I think it's a combination of both. I think there's an opportunity cost that comes with, you know, let's say signing in with NXT, like the, you know, the budget design of WWE to go to the NXT developmental, because they knew they could make more money on the independent scene. And, you know, certain acts can do that. But for others who are either younger or entering their primes, or, you know, whose dreams, maybe their dream was to make it to WWE, maybe that's what they're looking for, like a Kevin Owens, maybe you do take a lower deal now to have the opportunity to make it more later. But with the Briscoes, again, I don't presume to know their business and what they're looking for in terms of their future. But they have a successful business besides the wrestling gig. They're making good money on wrestling. They are important to Ring of Honor. They're constantly doing the health expos that ROH does. They're constantly doing TV shows. Like, I mean, Mark doing the weather is a constant. Like, every year he almost seems to be doing, like, these special weather reports for local affiliate stations when they go on tour. There's stuff that Sinclair knows the Briscoes have value, and maybe that's why they were a little bit more, I guess, efforting to present a better offer to them. And maybe they realized that with a lot of stuff going on with people signing to NXT, GFW, Jeff Jarrett's company, maybe starting to get things together with them after so long, that they, in the Lucha Underground, obviously signing talent, Evolve, and other signing talent, it is in their best interest to start to get their ducks in a row, and maybe this is a start towards that.
It seems like it should be, and obviously, like I said, of two minds of this, I'm glad that the Briscoes are getting paid what is hopefully a good wage, what they are worth to Ring of Honor, and they're able, obviously, to support their families and, maybe live a little comfortably. There's also part of me that kind of wanted them to go to WWE for two reasons. One, because I think they deserve to make that money, but also, I kind of wanted Ring of Honor to be forced to shake things up and maybe look at new talents. Such as, they signed Dalton Castle recently. Obviously, there are Midwest stars like Arya Daivari coming in. They're getting more shots there. And then there's guys like Josh Alexander, who I presume I would think Ring of Honor was happy with, and hopefully he's booked more often. And the Briscoes take up two of those really significant spots. Granted, I'm not saying this that I think like the Ring of Honor product is boring or anything, but it is good to sometimes have to be forced to change the environment. And I think the Ring of Honor product right now could use a little bit of that shaking up. Particularly with Samoa Joe leaving, and I know that you wanted to talk about Samoa Joe's run, the four matches that he had while he was there, and then we're also going to be updating people on the New Japan talent that have been announced, and you kind of have to look beyond that. So with the Briscoes
Sure.
staying, you know what, I'm not trying to say that they're lazy, but I feel like now there's a little bit less incentive because they still have the two guys that, I mean, we've all heard it. They are two of the bigger merch purchasers when it comes to Ring of Honor too. Like their t-shirts sell well, their compilation DVDs sell well, and that's always a good thing, but I think that any business should go because Ari, like we've lived with for the past more than a decade, Ring of Honor in some ways gets better when they have to push new talent.
And sure, I mean, I've heard the criticism from you and Jerome and others on previous, newscasts and all that. And there is definitely something to the fact that ROH needs to be prepared for further talent raids and to start putting attention and focus on guys in the booking by giving them wins and starting to decide who's going to be there, these guys that are going to be the next generation to come in and take that place. But at the same time, I think the Briscoe staying in ROH is a good thing for ROH because you keep two known quantities that represent a lot of, connection to the name brand. I mean, again, they say it all the time, but Jay Briscoe, it was and Mark are ROH from day one. So you've got that sort of legacy status that ties everything together. And, I think that is important, and I think that just from a fan base standpoint, when you look at you've got Adam Cole, you've got Michael Elgin, you've got a few other top names, but the Briscoes are really the a mainstay group that will keep things going. And you always say, well, what's next for the what could be possibly next for the Briscoes? Another tag team title run, whatever. But Jay has made a very good go of it in the singles run. He's been champion twice over. He's got a very steady, focused push, and I think it's worked. Whether you like his character or not, whether you like his comments off screen or not, the guy has become a representative of Ring of Honor, and that's important to keep. And then for what you said about WWE, I mean, again, yeah, it'd be great for them to go to WWE just because you could say, well, the Briscoes have made it into WWE, but it's all relative, and I think, in fact, it's still, although they are starting to re-emphasize tag teams again, it's still very shaky in the tag team division. There always seems to be this, I think, looming threat that that sort of whole house of cards can fall down. That, it's not safe to be a tag team in WWE, I should say. And, I think the unfortunate thing is, aside from the Usos, would there be a pressure to break up the Briscoes and put them in singles competition? What would they, how would they do, when it comes to the people in charge there? I don't know. And that worries me. So, I prefer them in Ring of Honor. And I don't just say that as a Ring of Honor fan. I say that as someone looking at the entire picture. I think there's more of a potential to do more and do better in ROH than there is in WWE right now, in the short term at least. Maybe not the long term, but definitely the short term.
That also kind of leads to a topic that we hadn't I hadn't thought about in terms of things that we were going to talk about. Tommaso Ciampa, he left Ring of Honor.
Oh yeah, that's right. We didn't talk about that in our pre-show rundown, but that definitely happened.
Yeah, I mean, and like you said, I think you're right in that also, since that they have to retain some of these talents that are better known for, kind of branded with Ring of Honor colors. And Tommaso Ciampa, he was one of those guys. I mean, there was a point in time when myself, Mikio, and even Jerome were saying this guy could be Ring of Honor champion, and now,
What
not even
happened?
there. What? Yeah, exactly. So we have to kind of ask, what happened? And I mean, obviously, the reports have been, Tommaso Ciampa wanting to kind of go out on his own, see if things, not necessarily, I think most reports have said that it's not like there was a WWE issue mixed in with this, but obviously something happened because he's no longer there, and I think he's doing well. I keep forgetting to update the website with some of the stuff he's doing. He's doing a lot of overseas tours. He's doing a lot of other things in other promotions he's never been in. And then him being in the Midwest, I think AAW is basically going to become his home promotion now, which is nice. I think it's definitely a promotion that could, I don't want to say use it, because I think AAW does a lot of good stuff, but he's a very good hand to have there.
Now, does he? Now he was in PWG for a while, but is he still being used by them, or
Yeah,
did they stop you?
yes. Oh yeah. He's still being used by them. So,
Okay, good.
it's kind of intriguing. And then you also have so what were your thoughts when you since we didn't discuss it on the podcast about it last time, what were your
Sure.
thoughts when you heard, because it happened relatively soon after, but of course we'd
Yeah,
already recorded, so.
I was upset. I mean, this is for people who have listened over the past year or so. The criticism is nothing new. I mean, talk about completely dropping a ball on somebody. I don't know why the push for Ciampa, as TV champion, was halted so suddenly. And I mean, you're talking about a guy who had an amazing ring entrance and was starting to develop a buzz by the. I mean, you could feel it. You really could feel it if you were live in the building, that there was this sort of groundswell being built up for Ciampa. And then it's just. The last year, it hasn't been the same, and I mean, there's been some interesting stuff with him, sort of as the loose cannon character, and definitely some of those things that they did with him, I would probably do with him too. I mean, the going crazy on the refs and the interactions with authority figures. I mean, it all makes sense, but at the same time, it's like, as a long-term future, I mean, I think there was a lot to him, and yeah, a lot of people, Ring of Honor, next Ring of Honor world champion at some point. You just look at the 13th anniversary show, that entrance that he made with someone had developed the mask and cape for him, and it's just like as awesome as his entrance was beforehand and the charisma he had there, that just added that little extra something, and I thought that was like going to be a gateway to really take that next step with the character, and then it's nothing, then it just all amounted to, maybe, that just wasn't what they saw or thought would be right for what their vision of the character would be. But I mean, I honestly, I'm left very disappointed, because here's a guy who, when he came in and they had him as this dominant male character, I really just, it was not working for me. But they really did turn it around when he focused on the Sicilian psychopath part of it, his character, and they had the music, the lighting, and it was starting to really click, and they just didn't do it proper justice. So if he's doing, it's good that he's getting bookings on his own, and he's selling a lot of T-shirts with the mask and cape style now. So I'm sure he's going to continue to be creative and move forward in his career. Maybe he'll come back to ROH someday, but just from a booking perspective, you take a look at that kind of character, there's so much potential, and it just was not enough done with it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a completely missed opportunity for them to develop. And they did. They developed a new star to the point that, he's getting booked in PWG, he's getting booked in other promotions, and people wanted to see him. And I'm glad that he's doing well on his own, but I just kind of wish Ring of Honor, why didn't you try harder to keep him? And then like I said, we kind of bring up the Briscoe stuff. So they obviously, ponied up the money to keep the Briscoes, which they should. I'm not saying that was a bad move. But it's like, well, then why didn't you do it with another guy who really could have been the future of
Sure,
your
but
company.
I get the feeling, and this is only my speculation, that it's not really about money here with Java, but more about
No, most
opportunity
likely not.
and usage.
Yeah, and hey, we're seeing it in WWE too. Some of these wrestlers like CJP or God, Justin Gabriel, PJ Black, they're leaving because they're not fe
Darewolf.
yes, the Darewolf. They're not feeling satisfied. And I think that's good in a sense. Like these wrestlers are now kind of finding their own. And obviously we're not going to say that there's a new boom period happening in wrestling, but obviously there's enough money out there that these wrestlers are feeling comfortable enough like, "Hey, you know what? I'm not feeling creatively satisfied where I'm at. I'm going to branch out and see what else is
Well,
out there."
right, and I think that's a part of this whole, ever since ECW died, and you've got I won't say a weakening, but it's just different as far as wrestlers coming up through and learning the system. And a lot of guys just go to WWE directly or go to the NXT developmental directly, and that's all they know. And I think to see some people say, let me get more experience out there. Let me see what else is out there. I mean that's very smart of them, because if you'll there's only so much room in WWE, and now there's only so much room in NXT. So, if you can go out there and apply a trade elsewhere and still try to make a success, go right ahead. I mean, look at Jack Evans, for example. I mean, he was making decent appearances and on the U.S. Independents, but he really found himself in Mexico at AAA, and he's been there ever since. And Rocky Romero in New Japan. These guys go elsewhere and they find something in themselves that really solidifies their character or makes them better than what they were before. So it's a good thing, but it's also very indicative of the way things are in the wrestling world now.
And I think, but it's like you said, I think it can be a good thing also is that at least the availability for them to go to new places is there, right? Whereas, I mean, because we've heard it for a while,
Sure.
especially with the way TNA is right now, there's all the rumors about the pay issues and stuff like that. And people are like, oh, well, where else can wrestlers go? Well, it seems that there's a lot of them kind of proving though there is a place for them to go. They're obviously not going to be making as much money. And who knows? Maybe some of them are making more. They probably are, in some cases, making more than what they were making in terms of a downside for WWE. So
Set up a pro wrestling tees account and you're good to go.
exactly, which we will never do. Anyway,
Oh.
yeah. So I think that's kind of some of the big news. We also have, it's kind of interesting. So we were talking about this off the air a little bit, and the run that Samoa Joe had, and of course, we mentioned already, he may or may not be going somewhere else. Whatever, it's out there, and I feel that his run, it worked. He had the four matches. I've only seen three of them, but the three I saw were really good. I got to see one live, which was amazing. Despite what some other, oh, I mean, some people say that, it wasn't as good as a match as it could have been, but you know what? I was there live. The reaction was palpable. The people loved it, and it's one of those things where you got to see him again on the indie scene, not in TNA with tattoos on his face and carrying a machete and or accompanied by the Green Hornet's, partner, stuff like that. It was nice to see the Joe of old. And I think that it was. I think overall, Ari, it did a lot of good for Ring of Honor. I think it put them in a place
Yeah.
where more fans. Obviously, they're talking about because Samoa Joe is a very well-known commodity, not just to Ring of Honor fans, but because of his time in Impact Wrestling. But it did bring a not freshness, because it's not like Samoa Joe is a young, new, upcoming talent. But it brought in something like, you know what? This is the heritage of Ring of Honor. This is something that they can that they can always say, like, we're the ones that kind of developed those stars, and look where some of them have gone. WrestleMania being kind of the culmination of a dream, right? I mean, it's happened two other times before. So with Tyler Black winning the WWE World Heavyweight Championship or whatever they call it now, it's
WWE World Champion
yes,
or
yes,
World
that's
Heavyweight Champion, whatever.
it wasn't a world championship before? I don't get it.
World Wrestling Entertainment World Heavyweight Champion.
There you go. Because that's not hard to say. I think that Joe going, coming through Ring of Honor was a good thing. Obviously, now wherever he goes, I'm glad that he's going there. And yeah, I mean, your thoughts are you've seen a lot of the matches as well. Actually, you've seen all four, correct?
I've seen all four, yes.
All of them very
And
good.
oh yeah, absolutely. I really am impressed with this set, this run. It is absolutely worth going out of your way to catch every single match from the first one on TV, which was the Kyle O'Reilly match, to the match against ACH, Elgin, which I thought was the best match of the four, and then the Jay Briscoe match was the title match at Supercard of Honor 9, which happened during WrestleMania weekend. I think this was, I mean, it worked as a mutual benefit to both Ring of Honor and Samoa Joe, because Samoa Joe really like came right out and stamped his himself and just said, this is, you know, I'm back, this is what I'm doing. And he really just set the bar for himself on this, you know, kind of short but very important independent run. I think it was important for him to go out and prove to everybody that he was more than what he had become in TNA, and I think he has successfully done that. And I think it benefited ROH, not necessarily at Supercard of Honor 9, because as you guys talked about in previous podcasts, that had been sold out before his appearance was made. But I think it certainly helped with ticket sales and T-shirt sales, and you know, put a lot of extra eyes on ROH. And if anything, it was just a positive benefit for fans who, you know, both long-term and new-term, who, you know, knew about his legacy, and we got to see him again. So I'm very happy that they got him in, and I'm very I was very happy. All four matches were really good, really, like, a lot of cool things. You know, in a way, it was the, like, what you would like, he picked right up from where he left off, but at the same time, he was interacting with a lot of new guys and responding to their stuff and their character, their attitude. And that made for some really cool moments, some really fresh matches. And it came at a very fortunate time for them.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself. And coming out of it, obviously, are the big New Japan shows, the joint weekends. They have announced the names are already kind of out there, but of course, you know, we all kind of assume Tanahashi, Okada, Liger, Naito, Watanabe, Kushida, Gato, and now Nakamura. We all kind of knew they were coming, but it was still kind of exciting, right? They did it on a series of days, correct? And
yeah, just like last year, I think the Observer had them all, and then Ring of Honor announced them one by one. Well, you know.
And then, of course, you know, you're going to assume that the, you know, Bullet Club is going to be there as well, and some, you know, the Young Bucks, AJ Styles, probably not like Kenny, because I would have assumed that they would have announced if it was like, say, Kenny Omega and maybe Anderson and Gallows. But
you never know.
Yeah, exactly. You never know. Also, they still could, because, you know, it's not like they said that Nakamura, you know, he's going to be the quote unquote end all be all, because you just assume the Bullet Club's going to be there. And then there's other guys that I think could, you know, you put those guys in with the top Ring of Honor talents right now, and it all, I mean, it's just so, these are going to be exciting shows just like they were last year. And I'm kind of a little bit worried about what happens in the lull, because it happened last year too, right? We were all kind of looking forward to Global Wars and War of the Worlds, and we're like, well, how do you follow this up? And this year again, this year, they're not going to be on iPay-per-view. They're not going to be on traditional pay-per-view. So I think there's going to be a lot of anticipation for these shows, which is always good. I assume they sell very well, as they should also. And it's four shows, Ari. They all, I believe two of the shows have sold out. The Toronto ones are close to selling out. There's still tickets available. So obviously the fans are coming in droves for this. I'm pretty excited for it.
Yeah. I think we should thank the Philadelphia fans, because that opened up the extra day for the second Philadelphia show. It was really the first Philadelphia show. But then I think that really did add the ability for ROH to bring in more of the talent and have a lineup comparable to what they had last year. And I think we talked last time, like, you know, we had heard only three guys, and, you know, we were discussing, well, should you have all three major guys? Should you have one major guy and a couple of the new guys or younger guys? And now you're able to have a comparable show, a comparable lineup to what happened last year.
Yeah, and obviously they haven't announced any matches, but I think it's pretty safe to say that any matches they have during the 4 days, gonna be really great cards, especially with the talent that they have in Ring of Honor right now. And with the news that the Briscoes are staying, still could be a whole lot of fun. And then you have guys like Red Dragon and the Kingdom, who are the IWGP Tag Champions. They're going to be used more in New Japan. So the ties to it are still working out. You know, you're in a subscriber to The Observer, as am I, and they noted that what was it that AAA kind of wanted to kind of work a partnership with New Japan, and New Japan was like, yeah, you know, we're really happy with our relation with CMML. And then there's the Global Force Wrestling, which has announced their TV tapings, and I get, you know, the, obviously Jared's going to be making calls to talent. I mean, this is a really exciting time to be an indie wrestling fan because you really don't know who's going to show up where and in what capacity they could show up. You know, there is, I mean, I guess at this point, Ari, there is a chance that Ciampa could be part of Global Force Wrestling. And
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, that's definitely an option, and I mean, that would maybe a good one. I mean, I think that would be a boon for Jarrett's promotion. I think again, Ciampa would be a guy you could really build around. So yeah, sure. I think it'll be interesting to see because to me, these New Japan shows, the crossover shows, they really seem like a this all-star celebration and this like. It used to be like, I mean, WrestleMania weekend, SuperCard of Honor 9, it was really good, but in a way, it felt more like a house show, an extended house show, a really good one, but it didn't have that same kind of pop or, you know, mystique, you know, earlier years have had. And I think really a lot of that pop and sizzle is being saved for the New Japan shows.
which is a smart move, to be honest. And
Absolutely.
then you have, you know, coming off a really great invasion attack, and you're going into the G1, man. I'm glad that they're coming over before that, because they're the New Japan
Yeah.
guys. They are going to be, it's going to be exhausting.
Yeah, and I mean, I expect, you know, with four, I mean, they're gonna have this is in a way a little bit of a slice of life of Japan, but here in America because they're doing four shows in about 6 days, I think. So you're talking about a very short amount of time, and I really do hope that at least the feature matches they do have that kind of epic feel to them. You know, obviously you can save a little bit at the beginning of, you know, those first shows in each tour stop, but you know, it's always like when you go to a concert, man, it's always that last night that's the best night, and all the you know, the big bands, they pull out all the stops, and you know, you get all the deep cuts and the covers and cool stuff like that.
Agreed. And I'm kind of looking forward to that, obviously. And I think that it, no matter how the cards kind of shape up, it's going to be a pretty exciting time. So, since the last time we recorded, Ari, SuperCard of Honor 9 has happened. I was there live. I thought it was a really great show. I mean, obviously, the pod, you can listen to my rantings on it already. I think
Yes.
I've talked about it many times. But you've watched the completed show. I'm sure you have some
Yes.
thoughts on it. I don't know how, however you want to do it, Ari, if you want to go match by match, because I think all the matches were great. So I would, you know, say what you want to say about it, because I think it was a really great show.
We don't have to do match by match. I could just give an overview and a couple of my favorite highlights. I mean, I thought the show got off to a really great start. We have Briscoe versus ACH, Mark Briscoe, I should say. And I do have to, I'm not sure why ACH didn't go over here. Aside from the fact that I guess Mark, I mean, Mark is the mainstream star in a way that he's better known, but they really should be building ACH more. And this seemed like a match where, you know, everybody goes over Mark Briscoe. This could have been an easy win for him and something to kind of help, give him back some rub after game efforts, but like losing to guys like Joe and Del Rio in the previous months. But it was really good, really athletic. And I was really surprised by Elgin and Kazarian. I thought they had fantastic chemistry. And for like, this might be a first time matchup, or I really rarely, especially because I guess Kazarian had been locked in with TNA for so long. And it was really good. It was really worth watching. And I thought they did a good job with the time they had. I enjoyed the six man tag. Sorry, six man mayhem, I should say. I thought everybody did their part there. There's some really cool moments, and you know, Andrew Everett returning to find form. There are some cool teases of I guess Caprice Coleman and Cedric Alexander and their former relationship as CNC Wrestle Factory. So that was interesting. And BJ Whitmer over Jimmy Jacobs and the Jacobs last match. I really thought they did a great job with this. You know, their relationship over the years has meant a lot. So this felt like closure in a really good way. And the return of Lacey also helped with that. That was really cool. Really good surprise. I mean, you guys had sort of commented on it, you know, when she had showed up at thing at one of the Evolve shows that that was possible. And so the fact that they actually, Ring of Honor, went out and took the step and brought the Lacey in, and so they could have sort of this happy ending. You know, we talked about, you know, a happy ending, maybe not for the Jimmy Jacobs character, wasn't meant for it, but I stand corrected. I really thought that was very pleasant and very pleasurable, as far as watching a character, you know, throughout the years really kind of go out in, on a high note, even in a loss. So, and then the second half of the card was all the, well, actually, Strong and Daniels. I kind of didn't like that at first because Daniels wasn't selling the attack after the Kazarian match. Elgin had to attack them both. But it did. The back was worked on. Psychology was put in there. So it ended up being pretty good. And then the three title matches were all really good, really solid stuff. Red Dragon and Taven and Bennett, they definitely had a really good match. And it was very entertaining watching them. Lethal and Liger was good, and Joe and Jay, I mean, we already talked about, really good effort from them, but probably suffered from the fact that Joe wasn't going to win. Jay seemed likely to win. And the J-Drill kind of seemed a little bit anticlimactic, if I'm being honest. I thought maybe they could have put in a little bit more time, a little bit more effort in that, but, overall, a really solid house show. And more than
should
that,
have won with the go to sleep, right, Ari? That's what you're looking for.
Sure.
Yes. I agree with everything you said. There was that part that I also found kind of disappointing in the sense of I thought also that they had a chance to really make someone, you know, like a Cedric Alexander in that Six Man Mayhem. And it's like, well, why do you have the guy win who, you know, nothing against Seidel, but he's not the future. You know, he has a role in Ring of Honor. He's the veteran coming back, and he's really athletic, obviously. But I just don't see him being in the title picture. And with what we know now about what was going on with Ciampa, to me, Ciampa should have been the guy to go over. But now that we understand what happened, it's like, okay. But even at the time,
it should have been Moose.
Yeah, that's exactly who it should have been.
Well, I got a text from, not text, a Twitter from Moose and Stokely Hathaway, because I was wondering, you know, well, if Moose didn't win in that match, does that mean the streak ended? But apparently, according to them, that does not mean the streak has ended.
It never counts. No, it's like,
does not count. Multiple main matches do not count.
They don't count. That's how Christian went through Impact Wrestling, being TNA World Champion twice, but never being pinned. No,
yeah,
undefeated.
That was
something. So.
Oh, it sure was.
Yeah. So yeah, no, there's a precedent there. Multi-man matches never count, Ari. Come on now. We know this. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, why didn't Alexander win? Or why didn't ACH win? These are guys that they need to be building upon. And that's why things like the Briscoes coming back to Ring of Honor, like I said, I'm happy for it, kind of, but there's a part of me that kind of wishes, Ring of Honor, you got to kind of be forced out of your comfort spot. But yeah, I mean, overall as a show, you know, I think you heard the same things. A lot of people like the show. I think even our own Ryan Rozanski, I read his review this morning. I'm pretty sure he liked it overall because a lot of the matches were consistent and really good. None of them.
There's no bad match on the show.
Exactly. There's not any of them. I would agree with him on this, are a quote unquote must see in terms of quality. But I think that Briscoe versus Samoa Joe is worth going out of your way to see. But it's going to be on television. That's a different discussion for another time. I think putting that match on free TV, but whatever. Yeah, whatever.
The other thing of note is we should mention Adam Cole does commentary on the show, and it's funny at first because we have Kevin Kelly kicking it to him, and you know the gimmick has been where Cole doesn't speak. So at first he doesn't speak. There's about 5 to 10 minutes of the show where it's just Kevin Kelly doing commentary by himself, play by play by himself. And finally, Adam Cole comments and starts to talk about the show and the matches. And I'm just like, holy crap, it's not a rib. I thought it was like a big rib on the audience that like Kevin Kelly was just like talking to himself and, you know, in like a studio booth and mentioning Adam Cole. But no, Cole does commentary throughout much of the DVD.
See, now I want to go back and watch it. Because, okay, I was there live. Yeah. I haven't watched the VOD yet. I had heard he did do commentary. That was the weird thing, right? When I was there live and the people around me, you can see me standing up against the wall and some of the people I was standing with, they were like, why are there no commentators? This is kind of, I don't know, it seems kind of weird. And then to find out they do the voiceover stuff, which is, it is what it is. You know,
yeah.
the small thing, but it still kind of speaks to something else. But yeah, no, now I'm really intrigued. I do want to watch it again. I do have to catch up on some of the house shows that they did beforehand. Like I said.
I will say this, Cole, it's a little bit of a slow start, but he really gets into it. He does find a groove, and he does have some fun lines later on in the show. But it's a little bit of a slow start, but it picks
Mikio, I hope you're listening to this. And that was Ari that said that it started off
up.
slow with them.
How dare I criticize?
Exactly. How could you do that, Ari? I thought Mikio was your
Yeah,
friend.
cues. Oh yes,
Yes.
he is a friend. He's a dear friend, but sometimes you're the blind Adam Cole. Look, I'm not saying Adam Cole shouldn't be loved, but I'm saying we should love open. Never mind. You know what? Let's just move on. I'm gonna step into it again, and God knows it's gonna come out of
We
my
are
mouth.
going to move on. Let's talk about. We do want to talk about some other big news, including stuff that we have already talked about on previous episodes on the newscast. But Ari, I haven't gotten your take on things like the KRD, stuff like that. But we understand this is still a spoiler. So we're going to save that for the end of the conversation, just in case, kind of much like Game of Thrones now, there's some things you can't talk about. It's too soon, apparently.
I don't watch Game
Oh, good. Sorry. So I can spoil the first four episodes for
of
you, and it
Thrones,
won't even matter. Not that I've
I will
seen
have
them or
not one
anything.
word,
I've
not
heard.
one idea. Yes, no idea what you would be talking about.
No. No,
This
no.
character's sister is sleeping with this character, or whatever. This the brother and the sister. I don't know. I just know there's a lot of incest going on. It's
It's
not
much
good.
more than that, Ari.
And
There's killings.
occasionally there's a dragon or
Yeah,
something.
exactly. I thought this would be right up your alley. There's
Maybe
dragons.
there's a red dragon. I don't know.
There may or may not be a red dragon? Not really? Oh, spoiler. Sorry,
Or
guys.
is the dragon accompanied by filthy Tom Waller?
Yes, actually, in fact.
Awesome. Okay, you know what? I changed my mind. I'm going to go watch it now.
Yes.
So, Chris, no spoilers.
No spoilers, particularly the spoiler of Red Dragon, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly coming out and killing the mountain. Oh, wait. Sorry.
Man, Mountain, Rock.
Anyway, moving on. So, Ring of Honor's
Yes, I
next.
made that reference.
You
Sell
did.
that reference.
So, the Conquest Tour is happening April 25th. Just today, as of this recording, they have announced new matches: Roderick Strong versus Silas Young, Michael Elgin versus Caprice Coleman, Bobby Fish versus Araya Davari. And I do like Ari this, because you saw the article too. Contains spoilers for upcoming Ring of Honor TV. It's like, thanks a lot, Ring
Yeah.
of Honor. But at
We're
least they
getting.
tell you. I appreciate
Yeah,
that.
you know what? That's fine. That's a nice little consideration.
It is.
Good for them.
And I do notice they have been doing that a lot more lately, putting up articles because they know that time-wise, if you're just watching it on TV, it's a little wonky. So they don't mind telling you, hey, this contains spoilers. If you don't want to read it, you don't have to. I appreciate that.
At first, I thought the spoiler was that Araya Davari overcame the pressure of competing among the best wrestlers on the planet and impressed so much that he will return in Optus. I thought that was a spoiler, but it wasn't the spoiler they were talking about.
No. No, it really was. No, Ari, that was the spoiler. What are you
What
talking
about
about?
Ring of Honor is the place for young talent to rise up and put the world on notice? Is that a spoiler?
Yes, because no one knew that Ring of Honor was that place. The place, Ari.
The place.
Yes, all caps.
All caps, THE.
So let's see. They've already announced Jay Lethal versus Kyle O'Reilly for the TV Championship. Jay and Mark Briscoe versus War Machine. I mean, Jay, the world champion. But when he's a tag team partner, he's not the champion. That's how that works.
Apparently not.
And then Adam Page versus ACH and ODB will be in action. That's actually it's kind of interesting because I
Now,
kind
is she gonna wrestle a man or a woman? Or I know this whole intergender stuff is like all the hot debate, the hot topics, man.
Right, you got to get those hot takes on it, man, like Joey Ryan does, right there on Twitter.
Apparently. I don't know. Whatever, man.
I mean. The kingdom isn't going to be there, so yeah, who is she going to fit? Mischief? No, she can't face Mischief. They're going to have a child.
ODB and Mischief are going to have a
Yes!
child?
No, Ari. That's terrible. Very progressive world that we're in now, Ari. Well, you have a problem with that? You got a problem with that?
No, I think that's awesome. I don't know what Michael Elgin thinks about that, but man,
If
good
I
for
was
them.
him, I wouldn't be that unhappy about it. Just saying.
I hope they go to the same clinic that Maria Kanellis went to when she claimed she was pregnant.
Right. That happened, didn't it? Anyway, that was a fun time. Let's see what else. You know what though? It is pretty. I'm pretty happy. You know, Silas Young coming back against a guy like Roderick Strong. That should be a really good match. Elgin Coleman. I think we can kind of see the outcome of this a mile away. Coleman's winning, right, Ari?
No, but he will have a consolation prize because he will still have his awesome theme song.
I do like his theme song. It's pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, all of these matches I think are really good. I don't think there's going to be a TV title change here. The War Machine kind of continues on with, you know, I mean, I understand they had this challenge. The match was going to happen. It's just kind of, I mean, why, Ari? Why is this
Oh,
match?
yeah, yeah, it's getting a lot of hype. ROH is really like pushing it. I don't know, man. The only thing I can see is maybe like somebody gets that pinfall over Jay or something.
Yeah,
But I
and like I said, we're not going to mention spoilers, but War Machine had a match with a pretty significant tag team that you'll see on TV, and this, it's like, well, what can they really do with this? Mark Briscoe getting pinned again to keep the streak of Jay alive, right?
Maybe. Or Jay and Mark winning.
Or yeah, I mean, yes, Jay and Mark winning, it's all, but then how does that help War Machine? It kind
It
of.
doesn't.
Exactly. So, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be a good match. They obviously were doing some really good stuff with Hansen while Ray Rowe was out. Now that Rowe is back, he's looked pretty good in some of the matches and clips that I've seen, you know, from different promotions, including Ring of Honor. So, it's a good match. I just don't. It just kind
Oh,
of
I think,
it makes me
you
think what's
know,
going to happen.
it'll be slobber knocker, as they say. And I don't know, man. It seems like there's really no obvious main event announced for this. I can't see that in the main event spot, but I guess we'll see.
I would assume that's the semi-main and the TV title's the main event. I mean, Kyle
It
O'Reilly
could
and Jay
be.
Lethal, that's going to be a great match, and it is a title match.
Yeah, and I don't know if you noticed this because we didn't talk about this on off the air before. But Bobby Fish had a couple of interesting tweets where he was talking about how he was the person who was the last person who had pinned Jay Briscoe 2 years ago, and he had never received a title shot as a result. So maybe we'll see Bobby Fish in the singles competition challenging for a title as well at some point.
I'd much rather see that than at this point seeing Moose challenge Jay Briscoe. I mean, you've seen those tweets from Moose. It's, I like Moose and all, but he's not world title picture ready. Not yet.
Well, I mean, if you see him compared to Future of Honor, Volume 1, he's made some leaps and bounds. I will say that.
Now, Ari,
And his
why would you bring up that show? That seems rather random.
oh, I don't know. Maybe it's because I actually watched it over my spring break. It
That could have happened, yes.
could have happened, but it did.
Ah, confirmation. Glad to hear it. But yeah, you know, I mean, it seems like a really good show. Obviously, Hopkins, Minnesota, they do generally well there. I'm looking forward to it, but it's not a TV. You know what? I think it is just a basic TV taping. You know, I'm not, obviously, it's not like,
Yeah.
it's not the 4 episodes or anything, but it's got to be a
They'll get
Road
a
Rage thing.
couple episodes, I'm sure.
Which is great, like I said, because it kind of adds to that continuity. Which is why we're kind of, I'm sure people listening right now are like, okay, guys, it's just another B show. But it's like, you know what? You gotta build some of the interest into it. You gotta see why they're doing it, why the matches are happening, and I mean, because otherwise, why are we watching Nirvana, Ari?
For the wrestling.
Maybe, maybe.
Man.
All right, so I think that's pretty much sums up. I mean, obviously the big shows coming up are, you know, you have this show directly after you have the joint shows, which we don't have any matches yet, so we can only really talk about the talent, right? So there's really nothing else to say up until we find. Of course, Ari, by the time I put this up, they will announce the first match, right?
Of course, because that's the way it works.
Exactly. They will announce AJ Styles versus Tanahashi, and it'll happen minutes after this is uploaded, and we'll all look like fools. So you do that, Ring of Honor. How about it? So now we're going to get into some a little bit of spoiler territory. So if you don't want to hear any of this, it happened at the TV tapings. Thank you for listening. And we're not going to talk a lot about, you know, we're not going to go through it in detail unless you really want to, Ari. But the big reveal was the KRD. We now know it was basically the Addiction and Chris Sabin, which that's kind of exciting. I know some people felt that it was a little bit of a letdown, given that there could have been the expectation that they could have made newer stars or introduce new talent. But you know what? At least in my opinion, this gives the Addiction something new to do. And Chris Sabin's always a good hand to have. And he's a known name. He's a known quantity. So if you're gonna lose someone like Ciampa, then you bring in someone like Sabin. You know,
Yeah,
to be honest,
absolutely.
I was actually kind of hoping Ciampa was gonna be somehow involved in it because it would have freshened him. Not saying that he needed it, but you know, a diff kind of a different thing than him being up against the quote unquote the man in Ring of Honor. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because
Well,
that's
he already had the Doctor Doom-ish mask. Maybe the red masked
Ex
minions would have been
exactly.
his
That's what I
henchmen.
thought it was leading to. Because you saw the mask and kind of the red. You know, his t-shirts were all of a sudden having this red kind of a theme to it. So it's like, okay, well, red mask, black, yeah. But it didn't. It was the Addiction. And I have to ask, Ari, since it was the Addiction, does that mean that the guy that delivered the super kick was Frankie Kazarian? Because it's not like Christopher Daniels does a great super kick.
I would have to be. I mean, Saban does a decent super kick,
That is
so
true. That's true.
yeah.
See, now I'm wanting to go back and see, like, hey, wait a minute, Chris Sabin was on another show.
He wasn't, but they are going to pretend that he was. But that wasn't. No. Yeah, so it's, you know what, I'm breathing a sigh of relief here because that reveal could have been a lot. I mean, it could have gone wrong, and I think this was, first of all,
What made it have gone wrong?
oh God, God, been, you know, and no offense to these guys, but you know, like Bobby Dempsey, Shane Hollister, and Shane Hagedorn or something. Shane and Bobby and Shane.
Alex Payne, the return.
Yeah, but
Yes.
you know what? But don't get your hopes up, dude. But it's you know what? This is good. This is a pretty good reveal, and I'm glad that they got all the masked BS out of the way. And you know, probably not the run-ins. I think the run-ins will continue, but you know, at least we'll know what's going on and who's involved. And I actually kind of had my thoughts. I was a little bit suspicious after that promo with the Addiction where Kazarian's like, this is our do or die for our title shot, and Daniels was like, I don't even know if I want to do this anymore, essentially questioning where he was. And that, you know, again, you just can't trust a guy who's the original founding member of the Prophecy, dude. He's just, you know, he's not trustworthy. He keeps coming back, and you know what the funny thing is, he keeps coming back and keeps getting back into people's good graces, and then you know, he keeps showing that he's not as honorable as you might think.
He's not
So
trustworthy. Christopher Daniels in Ring of Honor will always be the snake.
And he
Well, the
tells
other
you,
snake.
man. He told everybody back at Good Times, Great Memories, and they still like, you know, accepted him. But then he joined the, you know, came back, and he had a nice run. And then he joined the House of Truth. Then he left, and he came back and had a nice run. And now he's, you know, they're the KRD, you know. So I actually thought like maybe the members were linked to like the initials. So I had like the D as Daniels and the K. I was like,
Kazarian.
maybe that'd be Kazarian. But I was like, maybe it's like people like. Different people he wouldn't expect, so I really couldn't figure out who the K would be or the R. So I was on the verge of it, but really
Well, the
not.
K would make sense if it, you know, if you thought D was Daniels, then it would have been K
Yeah,
for Kazarian,
and
but
then R
R
would.
for I'm trying to think of a wrestler with an R in this last name.
Exactly.
Raymond Rowe. Oh wait, he's in a tag
Raymond
team.
Rowe, yes,
Right.
Red Dragon, and then that wouldn't have made any sense whatsoever.
That would have been
The
very strange, Ari, if they revealed,
K.
like, wait a minute, we're the KRD in our own tag title match, except
Exactly.
we lost.
Yes, they are the KRDD in that case. That wouldn't work.
No, I mean that should be. I mean, so how did you like that? Because I'm assuming you read the spoilers, right? I'm not.
Yes.
So the Addiction, they win the
Oh,
tag.
how dare you! First Game of Thrones, and now this. We're done, GST. We're done.
So, and, you know, it's kind of funny to think that. On the same episode, Adam Page defeated ACH, which is a match that is happening on the 25th. I don't know how that works out continuity-wise, but I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does. So the Addiction, they win the tag titles. They reveal that it's Chris Sabin. He goes on to have a match the next week up against, well, not the next, in episode 4, against Kyle O'Reilly, which I'm sure was probably a good match. And it's kind of interesting now. I'm a little bit more intrigued. The tag title scene, I think, could have used kind of this new fresh freshness to it. Not saying that I didn't like Red Dragon as the champions because I think they're great, but they're getting cheered, Ari. They can't be heels anymore. I mean, they can be, but you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
It
They're
just
little, they
didn't
were
work.
sort of in that in-between stage where they were getting really over, too over to be heels, and maybe, but maybe not in their characters defined enough to be faces. So And I really do wonder about their future because, again, we've been talking about it for a year or two now. Because, you look at Kyle O'Reilly's success in PWG and around the horn, really somebody can step up into the main event scene and challenge for the ROH World title or as he's doing right now, for the TV title and really start to make inroads in a singles career. But they're still great as a tag. So I'm kind of in a conflict about where we go next with them. And Chris Sabin, I'm not sure. I mean, I think he's really great talent. I don't know as far as like do I envision him being the next Ring of Honor world champion? I don't. I don't know as far as that. Like as far as being a point person, the singles guy to the Addictions tag part for the KRD. I mean, and here's the thing we really haven't answered is the KRD, was that whole thing a ruse just to sort of like misdirect? Or are they still on a mission to like change the world titles and put the right people, quote unquote, in place? Because they've already done that for the tag team titles, but maybe that's all they really wanted in the first place. I think we really could use a promo here to kind of clarify their agenda.
Right, because then it's like, okay, so then Saban maybe goes after the TV title? But then you're right, who would be the world champion? So maybe Daniels. I see what you're saying. They kind of pull a Bullet Club essentially, but with only three members. That's interesting.
I don't see Sabin as a world
I
champion
guess
right
more
now.
pulling a Shield than anything.
I guess maybe so, maybe so. That works.
Yeah, I mean, it's intriguing for sure. It sounds like both of us are kind of positive on it. We're not as down, like, oh, we had this high expectation that it.
I honestly didn't want it to be three new people. I don't think, I mean, it would have to be the right people for that kind of thing to work. And so I think, this is probably the best decision they could have made. And I'm really happy that they did it sooner rather than later. I don't know how much more of a delay I could have taken, how many more run-ins that would have been in the mask, ruining all these really good matches, just to further the angle. At least this paid off because it resulted in a title switch.
How many more super kicks could we have handled?
Plenty.
It should also be noted. So this was Tommaso Ciampa's. He got his last TV title shot, which he lost. He's not the Ring of Honor TV champion. Spoilers, again. Sorry. And then Alberto El Patron, this was his last day with them. So he was in a six-man tag teaming with ACH and Matt Sydal versus the Briscoes and Roderick Strong. And I guess Ari, since we kind of talked about it with Joe, we might as well talk about it with El Patron too. He had his match against Christopher Daniels. He defeated ACH. Roderick Strong lost the TV title and then won in this his last match with the company. Was this a good investment? I mean, I think so to a certain extent. We assume that Alberto El Patron didn't come in cheap, but did he add a little bit more prestige to Ring of Honor by having his name associated with it?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Is he, I mean, like, is he my favorite? Probably not, but I think he came in and he was very professional. Quality wise, he was very good. I didn't think that the pay-per-view match against Lethal was probably as good as it could have been, but you know what? He did put Lethal over, and so that counts for something. And I think as far as the sort of strategy of bringing outsider guys, you put them over, in a couple matches, and then have them put over one guy who you really want to have them have a keynote win on that guy. It certainly works. And he appeared for them on TV several times. He appeared for them here in Texas. So I think it was a win-win for all involved. And we'll let everything else fall out as it may. And obviously, the concern is, well, you keep bringing in these guys in the short term, and that's great. But again, you got to build for the long term too.
Well, having Jay Lethal win, like you said, that's the building for the long term.
It is. And again, there is this thought, we're heading towards Jay Briscoe versus Jay Lethal at some point, title for title, maybe title for title, maybe not. I don't know. But they've certainly done a very long build on Lethal, and as a heel, he's really good in that role. And again, I don't know, like Chris Sabin, do you put the world title on him? Is he ready for it? Is he the guy as opposed to like instead of like a KRD debut of a new guy, I honestly thought they should save the Briscoe pinfall loss to somebody, a new younger guy or somebody who can really kind of benefit the most from it. And I don't know if Lethal benefits the most from it. I mean, if it was Ciampa, maybe. If it was like Hansen at that four way, yeah, that would have been a huge boost for him. But I don't know if it's a huge boost for Lethal in the same way. I mean, he's already gone over Del Rio. He's already gone over Jushin Liger. I mean, being the guy to take the win, the 2-year undefeated streak from Jay Briscoe, I'm not sure how much more that does for him as compared to, say,
Right.
give it to Kyle, if you give it to Kyle O'Reilly in a shocker title change, which they won't do because they don't do these things these days. I'm not sure we're going to see an Eddie Edwards surprise win situation, but I would love to see that. But let's say that happens. I mean, it would do so much more for Kyle O'Reilly to be the guy to do it than, Jay Lethal right now, because Lethal's got so many peg posts that, that he's already gotten. He's got things that celebrate his career right now, and he's pushing ROH.
Right,
So
and
I don't know if you agree with me or not.
I do agree with you because it, and also to extend it, it's like you look at without Ciampa there, that means that their top guys are Lethal and Elgin kind of already, to for him to take the pinfall win over Jay Briscoe after 2 years wouldn't do that much for Elgin's career. So you're right, it has to be a young guy that it can make, but also not just make and then you do nothing with it. Like for example. If you gave it to ACH and then did nothing with ACH afterwards, then it was a complete waste. It has to be someone who is going to be the next carrier of the company.
What about Moose?
Again, it has to be someone that's going to be the next carrier of the company. So,
You talking about, dude? Come on. Moose can do it.
yes, with that chant, he can do anything.
Absolutely. I moo for Moose.
Wow, that was not one of your
No.
moments there.
Now we're good. Now we can move on, Chris.
We really, who could do it? Donovan Dijak, because they seem pretty high on him. He beat Dalton Castle, the guy with the biggest entrance in Ring of Honor right now.
The best, now that Ciampa's gone, the best entrance in ROH right
Right,
now.
did you see those pictures? His entrance is amazing.
Freaking fantastic. Well, I saw the if you saw the segment with him where he interrupts the House of Truth deal where Dijak joins and uses his men as a I guess you could call them his eunuchs or something, as a pedestal, sort of as a platform for him
Yes.
to lean on. Just brilliant, brilliant. I am so happy Dalton Castle is going to be a larger part of ROH. I mean, again, you want to talk about a character, this guy is a character and a good wrestler, and my God, I think there is a load of potential to do stuff with him in ROH. There's just so much to do with him, and I'm glad they have.
Who was the Remember back in the day when the embassy was stepping on that woman? What was her name? Everyone was like, "Oh, that's so
Jay
disrespectful."
Chung.
Yes, Jay Chung. So why aren't
Mikio and I
people
freed
getting?
her from freed her from captivity. That one show in New York. By talking to her, we freed her. She decided to rebel against Prince Nana. We did it. We're responsible. You can thank us now.
So are you gonna do the same for Dalton Castle's seconds? Is that what you're gonna do? You're gonna go to a show and free them?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, so you only do it for women, is what you're saying. I see how it is. All right.
No, I like them as part of the act. I thought Jay Chung could do much better for herself, and that's no slight on Prince Nana.
Or
I
Jimmy
just I
Rave.
Or Jimmy Rae. Yeah, she deserved to flourish in ROH, beyond that. But those, I don't know who those guys are. Dalton has with them. They're better off as the pedestals.
That's their place. But yeah, kind of getting back to what we were talking about, though. I mean, you have Dalton Castle down the line. Could he be a bigger star for Ring of Honor?
Yes.
Absolutely. And then, I mean, there's some things there for Ring of Honor to develop, and I think that's kind of the I don't want to call it angst, but the kind of the disappointment that sometimes you hear from me and Jerome is because they have the talents. There are also new talents that they could have in the promotion. And it just doesn't feel like they're doing the right things with him. Like you have ACH losing, you have Alexander losing to Michael Elgin, and it's like these are the guys that are supposed to be made. They're the younger talents right now, and you can't just all of a sudden go, "Oh, look, Cedric Alexander, next challenger for the world title," when he's been
Not
losing.
anymore. Not anymore. He could
No.
have last year, having that big win against Roderick Strong, sure, but not anything since. So, I mean, you do hope that his losses and the way he's been behaving leads to something, and you do hope that there's some sort of plan in place for these younger guys. But I don't know. It's you know, I don't take the sky is falling attitude that I think Jerome has, and that, you know, I am concerned, but I'm not super concerned, shall we say. I think they have a lot of pieces in place. They just, you know, need to kind of figure out what they're going to do with them. And I think in the meantime, they have a lot of the super independent wrestlers. I mean, you know, obviously, even just bringing in Chris Sabin now, you know, you have a lot of guys who have name value that can sort of carry the ship for now, and they can start to work on these new future building blocks. I mean, that's not to say I wouldn't have put, like I said before, ACH over Mark Briscoe. I would have, but you know, there's you can still kind of do what you need to do, but put the company on the backs of established names for now.
That reminds me. Last thing, I guess, before we get out of here. So they announced Kushida, correct? And there's a lot of kind of speculation that, oh, then that means that that's
Alex Shelley.
exactly. But it's like last year they announced them as the Time Splitters coming together. This year is just Kushida, and I'm not saying that's indicative of that means Alex Shelley will 100% not be there. But if he was, wouldn't you have announced them as a tag team?
Well, he wasn't there last year with the crossover. He was there at Final Battle with the in that tag match against Red Dragon. So yeah, they probably would have been, maybe they will in the future announce him,
But the
but
Time Splitters were announced together when they came over as a tag team. Yeah.
you're right. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not getting, I mean, anybody getting their hopes up right now, I wouldn't. I would wait until, you know, they start making matches, and if Kushida's not in the singles match, then, you know, maybe that'll tell you something. But I don't know.
He does kind of have that, and I'm not saying it's a bad reputation. It's just that when he doesn't want to work a show, he doesn't. Which is, I mean, hey, that's up to him. New Japan's paying him very well, so if he doesn't want to do it, then that's fine on him. You know, obviously, as a fan, I'd like to see him, but yeah, because obviously he's Alex. It would be kind of fun, though, right, to have the Time Splitters, and I kind of play up on that. And all of a sudden, they have the Time Splitters, and the KRD show up, and it's like Sabin and Shelley meet right there, like maybe not in the middle of the ring, but like in the aisleway or something. I mean, come on, you know what would happen.
That would be fantastic, absolutely.
And all of a sudden, the KRD invade New Japan. You know, no, that won't happen. That'd be interesting. Anyway, doing a whole bunch of weird fantasy booking in my head now. So, Ari, I mean, I think that's pretty much it, right? That covers a lot of it. We have,
Sure.
like I said, we have no matches for the New Japan show, so there's really nothing else.
Now we're just vamping, so you know, we should not vamp ourselves.
No, we really shouldn't. So,
Not in front of Nick's company.
yes. So, why don't we get some plugs in, Ari? I know you're a busy guy. You're not doing a whole lot of writing, anything else, but you still do a lot of tweeting and a lot of talking online. So, why don't you tell our listeners where they can reach out to you?
Sure. My Twitter is at Ari Berenstein, or type in Column of Honor in the search Twitter bar, and it will pop right up. I'm, yeah, just making the occasional comments on Twitter these days and doing this podcast with you. And that's pretty much it. Yeah, my I'm teaching and lesson planning, and that is writing in and of itself. It's creating, and it takes a lot out of me. So unfortunately, no columns in the future for me for right now. But I appreciate anybody reaching out to me and want to say hey, discuss some wrestling. Yeah, definitely go check me out on Twitter.
And of course, we want to thank everyone for listening to us and checking us out. Use our High Spots link. It's pwpondering/highspots. If you can just bookmark that, so every time you purchase stuff from High Spots, and we know that you do, kicks back a little bit of money towards us, and it doesn't cost you anything extra, and it helps keep the website going. And of course, our friends over at Filsinger Games, we have an exclusive coupon for them. So if you are buying their Ring of Honor packs, lots of new talents in there, and I think they just recently announced their partnership with Inspire Pro, so a lot of new cards are still forthcoming. You can use our exclusive code PWPonderings at checkout and get an extra 10% off of your purchase. So we want to thank Filsinger Games for providing that for us as well. So for Ari Berenstein, thanks again for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you again.